Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. I'm delighted to have with me today on University Matters on Campus FM, Ms. Alessandra Crespo. She is a new graduate. This year, we've had over 3,300 students graduate, or they will have graduated by the beginning of December. Amongst them, Alessandra. She already has other degrees, though. She has a Bachelor in Sacred Theology and a Licentiate in Sacred Theology. And she also has a diploma given to her by the Church Tribunal in Matrimonial Canon Law and Jurisprudence. It's going to be very interesting talking to Alessandra because she has, as she's just said to me off air, said, I think I've been told I haven't broken a glass ceiling, but I've broken a stained glass ceiling. And I think she really has, because she's actually the first woman to have completed those two courses. And now she'll be explaining why it was quite an innovative path to go on, to choose, in actual fact. Welcome to the program, Alessandra.
Thank you, Patricia.
Perhaps we could start off by explaining the difference between the very popular BA in theology, yes, which has been going for many years,
yes,
and always has a lot of adherents, yes, both men and women, and the other degrees in your faculty of theology.
Yes. Well, to be honest, when I chose to resume my studies, because I had completed my sixth form studies, got my A-levels, but I had no idea, no clue what I would like to do. So I chose not to go to university because I didn't want to go to university just for the sake of going to university and read for a degree which maybe I wouldn't like or stop halfway through or change. So I decided to go to work instead. And the choice of work led me eventually, 23 years to choose, yes, it does, to choose these particular courses. But to be honest, when I filled in the application form, I was already working full-time in a church organization, because in the meantime I started working at Caritas, and there came a point in my life when I wanted to consolidate my experience at work and in the church, because working in the church is as a decision in some ways. You're serving, not just earning money. So I wanted to consolidate my experience. So since I was working full-time, I had to choose a part-time course. So the course available to people like me at that time was a part-time BA Religious Studies. I took it like duck to water. I was very apprehensive at first because after 12 years of, you know, school, you have to sit down at a different desk and be on the receiving end, you know. So, but I enjoyed it immensely from the word go. I loved it. But as time went by, not very much, but as time went by, I felt I wanted more. But I didn't know what this more was. But I felt there is more to this than coming to university twice a day, twice a week. I'm not denigrating anyone who is only, how shall I say, who can only come to university in the evenings. It's just I'm speaking about my personal experience. So I wanted more, but I didn't know what this more was. So there, we were talking one day with a group of friends and a particular lecturer, and he suggested to switch to the STHB. And I had a vague idea what this course might be. So I went to look it up on the university website. And I came back to this person, this lecturer. I told him, but I think you missed something. I told him, I am not a man, and I am not a, I'm not a seminarian. And he said, yes, so? He said, I don't see why, if you are interested to widen your horizons in the academic field, why you shouldn't go for it. At that moment, because coincidence doesn't exist, you know, things fall into place. At that very moment, during that time, I was feeling a bit uneasy whether I am working in the church for so long, because I had already been working in the church for 12 to 13 years. So I was really pondering my decision to work, whether it still counts, or whether I am working in the church through because
habit
I was
or
a habit, or it was my comfort zone. So I said, okay, let me go for it. And so I quit my job. It was a full-time job, and I decided to go for it. I said, it's now or never. And when people ask me, but what's the difference? Isn't it like any other theology course? The main difference, the theology course, the BA theology, is a 3-year full-time course, and then you can move on to a master's degree in theology. But what I have chosen to do is a 7-year full-time course.
What a commitment.
Yes. So decisions like this, you either plunge yourself... If you think too much,
you will never do anything.
So you can't overthink something. Said I either go for it or I don't. So I chose a 7-year course that is mainly that is tailor made for candidates for the priesthood.
That is why we were talking about glass ceilings, because. There must have been a few raised eyebrows when you applied.
Yes, I found some opposition at the beginning, not because it was unusual. So, you know, when it's unusual, people try to dissuade you from doing something. But I was adamant. I wanted to do it as long as it's offered by the University of Malta.
Why not?
There are no requirements, particular requirements.
Don't say you have to be a man.
No. So, and if it's offered, why shouldn't I go for it? I jokingly say I answer like Edmund Spencer, why did you climb the Everest? Because it's there. You know?
Good enough reason, why
yes.
not?
So I decided to go for it, and I don't regret it for one moment.
What about the actual content of the course? You said it's going to be slightly different to the BA in religious studies.
Some credits are similar, of course, because the fundamentals are the same of theology. But this course, since it's tailor-made for candidates for the priesthood, therefore it has to be also regulated by the Holy See to see that the future candidates have the required formation, academic formation. It's more intense. What I found as well is that since eventually these seminarians serve in parishes, it is also very practical. In fact, the last 2 years of the course, because the course is 7 years long, we have the first 3 years is mostly focused on philosophy, because if you don't get the basics of philosophy, you can't understand theology. So we spent 3 years mainly focused on philosophy and a little bit of theology. We have finals and we graduate. Then we lose sight of other colleagues who were with us because some credits are the same. So we lose sight of those friends and colleagues who were with us in the first 3 years of the course. And then we move on to the part two, which is very intensive theological preparation. Then my colleagues, who were all seminarians, they are ordained deacons, and eventually they are ordained to the priesthood. We have another set of finals, and then we move on to the licentiate, which is like a master's degree. It's a master's degree, in fact, which is focused on pastoral theology, because it doesn't make sense if theology is just an intellectual exercise, especially for priests, for Christians everywhere, but especially for priests. So it is more focused on pastoral theology, how to apply theological concepts to everyday life, how to accompany people in their journey of faith, the problems and the difficulties they encounter. So it is more practical.
Did you have to write thesis yes. for either of these courses? Or
for
both?
For the last part of the course, the licentiate, we had to write a dissertation.
What was yours about?
Mine was about the church tribunals, because I work in the church tribunals for the past 8 years now. And so I decided it would be beneficial to me and to the institution I work in, and even to the faculty, because before I did mine, there were no dissertations about church tribunals. So I decided to discuss the theme of pastoral solicitude of the church, especially in marginality cases.
I'm really interested in the tribunal. I really want to go into that a little bit in depth. But remaining for a little longer with the University of Malta, two things really. Your experiences as the one and only female in a group of men, and also the active participation you took beyond the lecture room activities at the university.
Well, where shall I start? Let me count the ways. I wanted my university experience to have the whole package. I didn't want just to come to university to study. I wanted to have a full and active life, even as a student. At first, I started off as being the student, the evening student representative in the Theology Students Association. And then eventually, and I did what was asked of me in many other roles. I mean, you're a student, so you
do a bit of everything.
Yes, it was very refreshing to come here and forget you have other responsibilities elsewhere except to study here. And, you know, I was just like any other student here. So, and then eventually in my fourth year of the STHB, I was elected president of the Theology Students Association. It was a lot of fun. It sounds very president, but you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, you get
organized seminars,
and,
I suppose.
Yes, and what was very nice about it, if nice is a word to use, is that you get to know more people, more other students in other faculties, because then as an official, it sounds very bombastic, but you know, as a student representative, well, at university, these things are taken very seriously.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you are asked to sit on commissions in the KSU, and so it was very refreshing to meet other people who have nothing to do with the church and theology. We have nothing against such people, but it's important to not to be in a bubble.
Absolutely.
So I was also asked to sit on the electoral commissions. Believe me, they were fun. They were very interesting, you know, to see people, students who are so enthusiastic about student politics. So it was quite an experience.
And quite interesting, because since you were not a 20-year-old.
No,
you were
more
also
than
looking at it from a different point of view. I mean, I found that as a mature student, I did my degree in my middle 30s. And at first, I was terribly worried about sort of sticking out and looking terribly different to everybody else. But in actual fact, after a few days, the student didn't.
They don't care.
They don't really care.
They don't care.
So long as you.
As you fit in. You have to do the effort to fit in. Even in my course, being surrounded by all those young men, I mean, first of all, it was no big deal for me. Because I had been working in the church since I was 19. I started the STHB course when I was 32, so it was
like a continuation.
Well,
of
yes,
your
because I was used
experience.
To working with priests for many years, so it, for me it was no big deal. So I went. I am here. I was here to study. I mean, the yardstick is the same for everybody. So
right. So, and if they saw you with that attitude, they would have taken the cue and had the same attitude themselves.
Well, you get different reactions from because not everybody is the same. There were some of them who saw me as an intruder and interloper, but it wasn't my problem. I mean, the university is for everybody. So I carried on regardless, and I have made very good friends among these young priests now.
You'll be following their progress.
Yes, yes. It's very heartening to see that we have grown together in the course. So it's very heartening to see them, either vice parish priests, you know.
With me today for University Matters on Campus FM is Alessandra Crespo. She's come to talk to us about her studies in theology here at the university and her work as Chancellor at the Ecclesiastical Tribunal. So let's move on to the tribunal, because yes. I think this is an issue that quite a few people have had to negotiate, an yes. issue and a place that people have had to negotiate. It's a place where, as in any legal situation, it's usually got a problem, but perhaps not only. But I think it would be nice to explain just in detail how the tribunal in Malta is structured, because it's very interesting, actually.
The church, like any society, has regulations that regulate her and her members. So whenever one of her members has a difficulty or needs the discernment of a church tribunal to discern the legal, let me not use the word legal, if you have a problem and this problem arises in the church, you need an external forum to help you arrive at a discernment of this problem and maybe a solution or a decision. So the tribunal is there for members of her faithful who need her discernment in a particular problem. Now, as we all know, mostly church tribunals deal in marriage nullity cases. So if you feel that you have a doubt about your status, about your marriage status, you approach the church tribunals, and I say tribunals because there are more than one, to give you a reply. So in Malta, there are three tribunals. There is one in Gozo, it's called the First Instance Gozo Tribunal, and there are two in Valletta. The First Instance Tribunal in Valletta and the Regional Tribunal, which is the Court of Appeals. This is where I serve. So what's the difference? First Instance Tribunals are usually attached to the Bishop of the Diocese. They are directly responsible for this tribunal. He is the chief judge, but then he delegates his judicial powers to a chief justice. In church language, he's called the judicial vicar. And then the regional tribunal serves a region. So where I work, we serve Gozo, Malta, Libya and Gibraltar.
I found that fascinating. Yes. I had absolutely no idea that we acted as a sort of regional hub.
Because if you need a question to be resolved, any question, especially marriage nullity cases, you need two replies from two different tribunals, either two yeses or two noes. Now, if you have one yes and one no, you need a third tribunal to see.
To make the final decision.
So this is the norm everywhere. This is not just doesn't only belong to the Maltese church. This is the norm everywhere. You need two tribunals. Then you have the Roman Rota, who is the tribunal who oversees all the tribunals in the world. And then there's the Signatura, which is the topmost tribunal, which is more administrative, but I don't want to complicate.
It's fascinating. I find the structure very interesting.
Yes, it is complicated for people who are, even for me sometimes. So that's why it is very important to be very approachable to people who require the services of the tribunal. It is daunting to have to go to any legal structure, not only the church. So it is very important, I believe it strongly, that you need to, first of all, remember that you are not just a functionary, if you know what I mean. You're just there to function and do your job. You are there because you believe in a higher purpose. You chose to work there. You chose to work in the church. So you need to present a very human face of an institution, which is the tribunal. And you have to remember, I say to myself, the minute you forget that you are there to serve the people who need the church, the services of the tribunal, these people are hurting. For at least for one of the persons, it is the end of a dream. You know, nobody enters a marriage thinking it will end. So you have to remember that these people are hurting, and you need to offer solicitude. The minute I forget this is the minute I leave. I say this, I say it often, and I'm saying it publicly. The minute I don't believe in what I do is the minute I will leave.
And although one doesn't want to make any difference, gender differences really, do you feel as Chancellor, because that's what your title is, isn't it?
It is.
And do you think that you do, as a woman, bring something perhaps a little bit different or a little bit
beyond? Pope Francis, only 2 days ago, when speaking about the role of women in the church in his new apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, he said, the woman has a certain something that pertains only to the woman. And it is very beneficial for the church to allow women not only to serve as auxiliaries to the men, but to have roles in the church. Because we do offer something different. I mean, I exercise my role in the tribunal the same as other chancellors who were before me, who were all priests. But I am sure, because it is expected of me to make sure that everything runs smoothly, but I'm sure that women do offer something different. You'd have to ask the people who visit.
Exactly.
But I think we do. Although lately I've been called, first it was Reverend Chancellor some time ago. I received a note, Your Holiness.
Getting better and better.
It's too much even for me. Stained glass ceiling and door.
As Chancellor, explain to us a little bit what your job actually entails.
Well, in a nutshell, it's like a court registrar. You make sure that everything is in the right place and everything is record keeping, and each paper is accounted for. The processes run smoothly. But that is just the nutshell. The longer answer is that I make sure that each process is running according to procedure, not because we are legalistic, but procedure ensures the administration of justice. Let me put it in simpler terms. My role is to safeguard the person's rights and equally, whether they are the petitioner or the responder, or in other terms, the plaintiff or the defendant. So I ensure that the rights of the persons are being safeguarded. And it is important to oversee that the process is being done according to the regulations, so that each and every person has the same rights to defend himself or herself against anything that the other person might bring to the table. I also ensure that the rights of the tribunal as well are being said. It is a balancing act. You have to be careful not to lean too heavily on one side. It's like a tightrope game. If game is not the word, but you have to ensure that there is no favoritism. Even if you feel in your heart, you know, your hasra,
you feel difficulties.
But the tribunal is not there to assign blame, which this is very important. I think this is one of the main differences between church tribunals and other forms of a legal system. We are not there to assign blame. We are there. The tribunal is there, the judges, more than myself, because I have no say in the actual outcome. I make sure that things run smoothly until then. The judge's interest lies in finding the truth, and that justice is being done in the light of the proofs that they have in hand, and that justice, because justice might seem a very strong word, but justice assigns your rights. It recognizes rights that you have, and justice must also always be tempered with mercy. So that's why even when writing a sentence, the judges are very careful what language to use, not to use condemning language. Because even though they are there to judge a situation, they are not there to condemn, you know? I don't know whether I have made...
I'm following you exactly. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time. It's a fascinating story, yes. And I'd like to thank you very much for coming to talk to us today. I know that you have the idea of continuing, I think, some studying. So.
Yes, I'm hoping to do my doctorate, but I have not yet decided the subject, but I'm hoping to continue.
Well, that's best of luck with
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And you're not going to say it, but I'll say it for you. I might say that Alessandra has gained her degrees summa cum laude. So she's really academically qualified, but from what we've been hearing also has a very good attitude, the best sort of attitude towards her work. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.